Good morning again, and sorry being the reason that we had to stop the discussion because of the presentation now, but I hope it's going to be interesting to introduce you to the new dimension of motorsport in a little bit more dense and in a little bit more giving you more information about this new sport. Let's start with a short clip introducing you to what the pilot has to do, what the pilot has sustained, what the pilot is forced to do, and what he experiences during a flight of about 50 seconds or 60 seconds when he's going to be totally exhausted after that.
In air racing, it's the man, the machine, and the clock. But people don't understand how hard the race is. You have to try to eke out the very last little bit.
You have only one chance. There's 1 minute you can fit everything in, and there's no room for any mistake.
We want to be level at the gate and finish the turn as late as possible.
The planes are rolling at 400 degrees a second. We get a penalty if we are 10 degrees out of position.
So you have about a half of a tenth of a second to stop it there. These kind of values are amazing when you think about human reaction, and we're doing this, of course, well over 300 kilometers an hour.
The G-force in the cockpit is the invisible enemy. It's there to try to knock you off of your game.
The Gs we're experiencing in the aircrafts are very, very high. We're going up to 12 Gs. This is much more than the F1 drivers are experiencing, so it's really tough on the body.
My body, you know, with all the equipment on, I weigh in at 75 kilos, and you pull 12 G, we're looking at about 900 kilos of my entire body. My spine has got to support that weight.
Your whole body has to be stretched and compressed, but your hand has to be still smooth and clean.
Your hand weighs 10 times its weight and it's on the stick. And when you're trying to move the stick just millimeters to make the right amount of G, it's very difficult to get that precision.
There's a muscle memory involved in this. There's no instrument you can watch. We don't watch a meter that goes up slowly to 10 and then we stop there and turn. It's instant. It's 0.03 seconds to 10 Gs.
Going in the track, everything has to be automatic. Everything has to be precise. You have a fraction of a second for reactions.
A really, really good race pilot doesn't think about anything except flying fast.
You make sure that you've got a plane that you know you trust. You make sure you've got a team that you know and you trust. And the team are looking after the plane, they're looking after you.
You have to be able to withstand the pressure of all of those external factors as a race pilot to go fast. And that's the difference between winning and losing. How well can you fly on the edge under pressure?
So I hope this explained a lot, and you have seen how tough it is for the pilots. And as I said in the interview, so they have to train, they have to be prepared, and they are really totally sportsmen. So the air race itself, it started in 2003 with the first event taking place in Austria, and developed then in 2005 into a world championship because of the recognition and the cooperation with the FAI, the Fédération Aéronautique Internationale, the global body, governing body, and therefore it can be named a world championship, and there have been 7 races taking place in UK, USA and Europe. It developed further then until 2010 when there has been the necessity to take a break because of reorganizing it in economical way or management way, and also creating a business model and also creating more safety for the pilots. has never been a problem for the spectators or a safety issue for spectators, but there have been certain developments to made it necessary to change smaller things. In 2014, there was a relaunch, a comeback with new safety and introduction of the Challenger Cup, a second tier in order to become a wider sport, not being a grassroots sport, but having more pilots flying and a wider basis. And now in 2018, after five other seasons and 40 more races, we have now also pilots from Italy, South Africa joining it, and we had also the first race ever race in France, which has been in Cannes and was a total big success. Yeah, why the safest motorsport in the world? We created taller pylons. They are now 25 meters high instead of about between 18 to 20 meters in the past. And we were also limiting the G load at 12 Gs. And this is not only a saying or a rule, but we are also controlling all this data, not only the G load, the speed, the elevation, the climb, the descent, and every data which is of interest, not only to create esports, but also to deal with the safety for the pilots and for the game itself. So this has been introduced, as well as also a standard engine, standard propeller, meaning that, let's say, this created a more fair sport. On the one side, safety, but also a fair sport. And the pilots are allowed to modify their planes in terms of aerodynamics in all aspects of this, but not touching the engine. So we can say that we are accident or incident free since 2014. This is hard work, of course, because we want to be ahead of any development in this area, and we are continuing. What is our vision? We want to create an exciting sport, continuing to develop further, working on the rules, making it more understandable, easier to understand for the crowd, for the fans, and for the new fans, of course. We want to be exciting. So we have been, in fact, very exciting in our 2018 season, because the World Championship has been decided in the last flight in Texas Motor Speedway, when Martin Sonka took into the air in the round of the final four, and it was decided with his last flight. And we are sport. It's not an air show, it's sport, not only because of the man behind the stick, as we have shown you, but also because of the fact that this is a world championship, and it's not it's based on traceability, and it's based on fair sport. We have accumulated now about 300 million fans. This is the regular followers on our channels, on broadcast, let's say on linear TV, on our internet homepage. And we have accumulated now these 300 million fans we are really proud of. We reach regularly. We created in 2017 about 3.2 billion media contacts. This is based on internet, editorial, and also TV. And we are going to have more than that, but we are just talking about facts. So we expect 3.5 at least this year, but we can prove 3.2 billion in 2017. And we have now contracts, and this is the numbers from this year, contracts is about 51 broadcasters, and we are seen in 187 countries. On TV, on linear. So where are we in terms of motorsports in our ranking? Of course, Formula One is on top, with about 52% of interested people, motorsport fans. And this is also based on the fact that about 60% of the world population are interested in motorsport. And we are in fifth position. And this is based also on the sample we did in the countries. You can see the roundels. And therefore, we also must accept that NASCAR is a little bit ahead of us, and also Dakar Rally, because of the nations where we did our sample. But we are proud having accumulated now this 25% of interested motorsport fans, and we are reaching about, let's say, the awareness in about 40% know about the air race. We have been in spectacular locations, and we are going to be again in spectacular locations next year. Traditionally, the race starts in Abu Dhabi, but we have been, let's say, you see it on top right, in Indianapolis Motorsport Speedway. We are, let's say, racing, and you see it to the right, is it? Let's say we have been in Porto with about 850,000 people watching it during the weekend. So means that we are going to motorsports venues or sports venues like Ascot Horse Racetrack, or to city centers like Budapest or Istanbul, where we are racing very close to the parliament in Budapest, 150 meters away above the Danube River. So means we don't need the space of an air show. We are different. We are, let's say, we need a space of 500 meters wide and 2 kilometers, 1.5 to 2 kilometers long, and we can provide a safe race. Yeah, who is our audience? This is the existing Red Bull Air Race community, now based on these 300 million fans. We have people coming because they want to watch and love exciting events. And we have also people coming, of course, from general aviation and motorsport community. One of our arguments is also that we are introducing aviation to the younger people. This means also that they are the people who want to become either a pilot or being attached to aviation, becoming a technician or being part of the aviation industry as a whole. Of course, our other stakeholders are the media, the sponsors, and the host cities where we are going to race. Targets groups, core target groups are, of course, aviation enthusiasts, event lovers, and the petrol heads, we call them. Social graphics-wise, as I mentioned already earlier, we have people, the average age is about 39 years. We have more male than female, it's 60 to 40. We have the people with a higher income coming and watching the race. Most of our fans and spectators are using social networks, 77%, and most of our fans have a higher education. Well, something about the championship, we are going to have 10 races next year in Asia, Europe, and America. 14 pilots are taking part in the masterclass, and at the end of the year, we crown the world champion. And this is crowned by the FAI because of being the governing body for this sport. So we have masterclass pilots from 10 nationalities, and the world champion of this year became Martin Sonka in our last race last weekend in Texas Motor Speedway. We have the second tier of challenger pilots. They are also competing for their championship. And this year's champion is Luke Ciepiela from Poland. You see here 10 pilots. We have also on top left. It's a female pilot. It's Melanie Arstel from France, who joined us in 2016. She's competing well. She reached already 5 podiums. And we have qualified another 4 pilots this year. So it means next year we are going to race with a group of 12 pilots in the challenger class, which is very attractive because they're younger guys. We have also a Hong Kong Chinese. We have a Swedish guy, we have South African, Italian. So we are adding a lot of more nationalities. So what we can provide is we have the telemetry of the future. It's the key. So we have real life, we have real-time data transfer between the pilots, the plane, and our race center. And as well, we can, of course, communicate from the race center to the pilots if necessary, either in talking to them or sending them messages. And we have a high quality of data For instance, in about the same second, if one pilot goes above 12 Gs and this needs to test and check the aircraft for safety reasons, we can stop him immediately and get him to the ground, get him landed. And this is not something we are going to evaluate 1 hour later. This is done within the same second. Now, of course, these telemetry data are not only used for safety and in order to, for safety reasons and in order to provide a fair sport. It's also used for the TV production. We are using this telemetry data on screen in order to have nice graphics showing the speed, the G load, also how high they climb, etc., in turn maneuvers. We are also using the data to create the holographic ghost and the ghost in order to compare the pilots competing. So this is not a ghost just being produced on the basis of two camera pictures. It's produced based on data. Data we are calculating and evaluating and then transforming into the ghost. So the ghost shows the real trajectory of the plane, and then the user or the spectator is ready and is informed about the race, the trajectory of the pilots, and he can compare the performance of the pilots. And we are also going, we can provide the flight experience in VR with the goggle I've shown you, and there is also my colleague here, Adel, who can introduce you in the break to this goggle. Adel, can you show it again? Yeah, so he's here, and you can experience it lively. Regarding the TV production, we have a 360-degree approach regarding the stories and the content, and we are storytelling it in form of life, magazine, digital, and social. For instance, the live product, of course, is live on Sunday, race day, and the magazine, 26 minutes sports highlight show is ready on Monday, and the magazine 5 days later, and is distributed to the broadcasters globally. So these are the products, TV products. We have a 52 minutes magazine pre-season, then we have 90 minutes qualifying live. On the qualifying day, it's the Saturday. On race day, we produce two times 60 minutes live, the round of 14. And then the second 60 minutes is the round of 8 and the final 4. And as I mentioned, day one, 26 minutes highlights show, and postseason, 52 minutes magazine 5 days later, and postseason. In addition, we are producing news cuts, interviews, unilaterals, special features for the host city in order to promote the host cities, and also giving more explanation regarding the rules and the technology involved. As I mentioned, we have coverage in 187 countries, and we can also play with our different products. We can provide one broadcaster with the live product, the other one with the 26 minutes, or with the 52 minutes, and so we have a full flexibility in pleasing our partners in this area. Yeah, what we want, of course, we want to progress further, and the TV production goals for 2019 are shown here on these three pictures. We want to explore more virtual elements and create additional onboard cameras. So we have, for time being, we have two onboard cameras, and we want to have three or four in different other positions on the wing tips, etc., in order to provide more interesting features. And we also, as I mentioned, the ghost. We want to introduce and explore the ghost in addition to the tail camera. So if the pilot is trailing his competitor or his adversary, then we can show the distance, in real life, the distance between them. And as I mentioned, a better onboard experience, and this works really well, but one can improve and become even better year on year. Yeah, digital innovation, we talked about apps and games, and we have, I mentioned the mobile game, we have the Google Daydream, and we are also having developed with Microsoft the HoloLens, and this is shown in a short clip. Yeah, we are talking about 10 races next year, but we are also in negotiations with a lot of other potential locations like Indonesia, South America. We want to expand again into Australia. So we have good prospects for the future, and the plan is creating a maximum of 15 races per season in order to be seen and becoming a global sport and a relevant sport. What is the impact for the host cities? We have intangible impact, of course, because the host cities have to invest, or the partners have to invest a little bit of money in order to get the areas, but we are providing some benefits for them. It's in terms of media and marketing, they are seen globally, and the locations are marketed in a good way, in a positive way. It has a positive impact on the local community, seeing a modern sport and modern technology associated with their city. And it's also, we know from a lot of the spectators based on samples we did, that they are not only coming for the areas itself, but they are going also to coming for visiting the city later on. And there is also attached for the host city a direct tangible impact, direct economic impact in terms of revenues, in terms of taxes they can, let's say, they get because of the money spent there from the producers, from the visitors. And there is also an induced economic impact because of all the providers and the supporters and the companies we are dealing with, that they are then investing the money we bring to them. So this finishes my presentation. Thank you, and I hope seeing you on one of our events.